Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. This is the Apropos of Nothing Podcast.
With your host, Salsa.
Matt.
And Jenna.
That was energetic. Good job,
I know.
Guys.
Oh my god, yay!
That's because
you know
it's not fucking super.
Boom.
It's actually
boom.
Not super late.
Yeah, we have.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's true. We're actually recording at our quote unquote usual time. The one, you know, the one we never do.
You know, every other podcast, we'd be like, oh, I'm up for the sex. And I would be able to introduce the drink, and people would be like, yay, we need caffeine. But no, we don't. We're
don't get me wrong. I still need.
I still want the drink desperately. Yes. In which case, what are we drinking? Because I honestly don't know.
So this one comes with a story. About 2 weeks ago, Jesse and I were at the Richfield Municipal Liquor store.
Oh, I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I live in Richfield.
City owned liquor store is like the best idea
Always
ever.
Always funny. Yep.
Because I bet they pay lower taxes too. Because where are they making their money? Booze.
Yep.
Smart. Super smart. Anyway, and I was in a grumpy mood.
Shop super smart.
I was in a grumpy mood. And there was a guy with like tasting things there. And I was like, yay, I showed up on tasting day. Mm-hmm. Like, that always improves your mood. And he was there
almost as good as Rex Manning Day.
Almost. Oh, so tasting close. Day is up there.
It really is. There. Yeah. So the guy was a representative from Chanhassa Creek.
That is an awful amalgamation of Chanhassen and Chaska.
Yeah.
But I've seen that term used before and it upsets me.
they make wine.
Okay.
They make lots of wine. And they have a line called the Creme Line.
Okay.
And I looked at that and I was like, I'm sorry, I can't have that because I can't have dairy. And he said, oh, it's non-dairy.
What?
And I was like, bullshit, you say.
I forgive your shitty name.
Right?
I say, thank you, sir.
So, the one, they have three of them. One is like a pumpkin-y, spicy thing. One's kind of an apple-y thing, if I'm remembering correct. And then one, which is my favorite, is their peppermint.
Oh, all right.
So we are having the Chanhassa Creek North Forest Creme Peppermint. Mint.
Ah, so it's
M-Y-N-T-E, because you have to spell it fancy.
And you can trademark that.
But yeah, it's their creme wine. Or one of their creme wines. So we've got about a shot or two of this in a mug of coffee. What kind of coffee?
This is also, by the way, a really nice bottle.
It is really actually pretty bottle. Yeah,
yeah,
I like that. It is a non-traditional wine bottle that looks kind of gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking great for that. But yeah.
It's like a bowling pin.
What's the coffee?
it does. Kind of does. What is the coffee? What kind of coffee would you serve at your house? Also?
Well, it is true that this coffee... is stone ground.
Why do we let him do this?
True stone coffee.
True stone coffee.
True stone.
Yeah. What the hell you say? It's as though we actually do consume it, despite the fact that we advertise it. It's like
weird.
We actually believe in the product.
Right? All right,
let's try this.
This is the Colombian, right? Oh, you're slipping already. Never mind.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't that amazing?
This is the Colombian dark.
Oh, shit, that's good.
And I'm having another glass of this, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, I will be having more of this. This is really fucking good.
Oh, I'm going to drink so much coffee tonight.
This is a terrible idea.
But I will be up until 3 o'clock playing Sunless Sea and be happy about it.
I actually had this and served it at my Christmas board game day thing.
Very smart.
And it was a big hit there.
This would be
a
good. This is
a really good January drink.
I was going to say, noon, 1 o'clock, New Year's Day. This would be ideal.
Oh my god, yeah.
It's like, I'm up, but I'm not ready to do anything.
We missed that by a couple
Tell you
things,
what, but I'm just saying, like, that. I can see this being the perfect, like...
But, you know, or, like...
Winter morning,
Saturday, afternoon, evening.
For
like,
sure.
you're all chilly. It's getting really fucking cold out there again.
I like that this isn't mint forward.
Yeah, it's not
I'm not into super,
it's like
Altoids
mint schnapps
and
mint.
Or
something like that.
No, it's just enough mint.
This is really good. Yeah.
Nice.
Well played. Good on you,
both
True Stone and
Chanhassa. I know.
It's okay.
It's like if you take mint cocoa and add a little bit of coffee to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's kind of
it's not really cocoa-y, though.
That's the thing.
It's kind of like a mint Bailey's.
Yeah. But without being like overly gross. And I think that's often the problem, is that the mint comes off as like too up in your nose.
Yep.
And that kind of puts me off of things. But, no, this is fucking delicious.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
And the temperature
taste
is
the
exactly
mint
what
as
I
opposed
want.
To
right?
smell the mint.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm. I did also have little mini candy canes when I served this, but, I mean, you don't need
that. That would put me over the top? yeah. I think. But
it was good for me. It was one of those nice kind of.
A lot of people
I like
love
a little
that.
More yeah. sugary stuff, but yeah.
And you can hang it right off your coffee mug.
Well, and that's the best part.
Yep.
Oh man,
this is really good. That's distracting. So, well, Salsa, you already mentioned that you've been playing Ye Olde Sunless Sea. last week's episode, I basically described in like a single sentence of like, well, there's a Steam sale.
Yeah, right?
Because that usually is what used to happen with every Steam sale. We've gotten better about simply talking about video games whenever there's a Steam sale, but last week we kind of talked about that, which I'm fine with. But that means that this week we can talk about the aftermath of our new video game purchases. Anybody have any surprising
joys? I apologize to the both of you because I have not played either of your games yet.
That's all right.
That's okay.
That's
fine.
Jesse introduced me to a game called Shop Heroes.
I've seen you've been playing that.
Oh my god.
I've seen you log into
it. It is
that.
The dumbest, most addictive fucking little game ever.
Right.
And of course, you can get it on Steam, you can get it on your phone, you can get it wherever. The premise is that you are playing the merchant, the shop owner of a shop in a village. It's as if the NPC was the character that you're playing.
Gotcha. So is it kind of like Cart Life?
I haven't played Cart Life. It's kind of like Lemonade Stand.
Okay, so it's somewhere in that neighborhood then. Because Cart Life is one where it's very lo-fi, but you like have like a hot dog cart or a bagel cart.
Yeah.
And you have to like purchase supplies and then you know, create your things and do your thing.
You have like supply bins. You have different supplies for different things. Because you're crafting weapons and armor and shields and
that's why
that
sounds familiar.
Like
I think maybe Idle Thumbs talked about this or something.
Okay.
Or maybe I saw like Zero Punctuation or something to fan this.
That's
I can't remember, but yeah, like it looked interesting.
I can see Zero Punctuation having a field day with this game.
Super granular, or is it like granular. As in like you have to get down to every tiny detail of everything you're going to do to create the idea that a day goes well, or do you get to just kind of
it doesn't measure in days?
Dick around. Oh, okay.
So yeah, there's some freedom in what you're going to do, what you're going to build, what direction you're going to focus on. But the thing is that so you're building these weapons, these items for the heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go to the inn and you can hire heroes to go on adventures to get supplies, like rare supplies that you need to be able to build more weapons.
So it's to do more coke, to do more work, to buy more coke.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So there's that little cyclical area there. And then you've, as the shopkeeper, you've hired workers. I've got a carpenter, an armorer, and a tailor, whose name, by the way, Swift. Taylor Swift.
Nope, I got it.
Yep. See, in case you didn't understand. But so you level up your employees to be able to get more product out of them faster. Mm-hmm. Then you also have a town where you you invest in the town to get supplies faster or to get training for your heroes. And it is this beautifully complex economy that feeds itself really, really well. And once you start playing, you're fucked because you're like, okay, so I'm going to build this thing. Okay, in order to build this thing, I need these supplies. Oh, God, I want to build this other thing. And you'll have people come in and have requests for you as well. So you're like, okay, so-and-so wants this thing. So in order to build that, I need to build this. Or, gosh, I can't build that right now because all of my crafting slots are full. I could spend money to get another one.
Like overwhelmingly complex, or do you feel like it's pretty satisfying as far as because like the to me and this, the example I always use is a little outdated now, but like SNES Sim City is like my ideal Sim City game because it's just enough that you have to tweak a bunch of different things.
I would,
but like
put
a newer one is like I don't want to deal with where the water pipes go. That's too much.
Yeah, no,
but, like,
you don't need to deal with
stay,
any of that.
Like in a comfortable
you don't
of
have
things?
to get down to wiring the electricity to get things to go.
Yeah.
And you've got flexibility in where you want to put things in your shop. You've got
Giggity.
Flexibility in you don't have to fulfill other people's requests.
Giggity.
You can, and that's another aspect.
It's like a choice
it.
To maximize or not in a way.
Yeah, you can either you could fulfill their request or you could try to sell them something else.
Hmm.
And you have a certain amount of like popularity, I guess, is the best. It's a little hearts, but
some
I'd call it like popularity.
Yeah.
So, like, if you try to sell them something else, you're going to lose some popularity. But then if you discount it, you're going to gain popularity.
So it's like, it tracks your Yelp reviews, basically. Nice.
So, yeah, it keeps track of that. And if you run out of hearts, you can't sell something else to somebody unless they want it.
Makes sense.
And the game's pretty good about, you'll always get that one guy that'll come in and want something you already have, mm-hmm. so that you can just, whatever. Oh, you also have inventory, so you can only build so many items at a time.
Or you run out of space to pull.
Yeah. And you can upgrade inventory and things like that.
What's it called again?
Shop Heroes.
Shop Heroes, okay.
Yep. It is the dumbest, most addictive.
If that's not already on my wish list.
Yeah,
it should be.
It's free. Free to play.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
I know,
that's
right?
Way worse.
That's way worse.
The last thing I need is
because that means I'm going to.
Yeah.
There are some in-app purchases if you so choose.
Okay.
Like, you can
earn
gems.
Are they
gross
where, like, you can't do things without doing that?
No. Or you can totally play the game without them.
And see, like, that's, like I've mentioned before, like, I like Marvel Puzzle Quest where I can do it, just takes longer. Yeah. And I'm fine with that. That's okay.
Yeah. It can be aggravating today. I broke down and ended up buying a pack. Because I was enjoying myself, and
well, and that's the other thing too. Is if you like a free to play, throw them $5,
yeah.
or $10.
At a certain point, you're like, okay, you have entertained me long enough.
You've given me a dozen hours. I'll give you
$5 to be able to, purchase some of these gems so that I can purchase these things and whatever. So,
video games. Oh my god, so many video games have gotten played in the last few days at my place.
I've only played the two.
Yeah.
Which two?
Sunless Sea and Styx.
Now, you texted me about Sunless Sea.
Because mm-hmm.
that's the one that... I think I got that for you.
Yeah.
That's like Fallen London...
Fallen London sequel. Yep. And it's... I find it wildly addictive. I haven't played it in about a week because I've been testing out other new games I got.
Mm-hmm.
But your text indicates that I think you and I have the same issues with it.
The UI is...
In some ways fine, and in other ways infuriating. And so I've learned you have to have a notebook next to you when you play that game. And if you do that,
well,
you're fine, but it's annoying that I have to do that.
The more I play Fallen London,
which I've not played,
the more the Sunless Sea becomes a little easier.
Mm.
But the notebook kind of trees the story pathways that you kind of have these cards that you flip over, basically, and they progress down a story tree, and then you kind of have to back up the story tree in order to go down a different fork. That just gets infuriating to me.
See, and the part of the problem I have, too, is that the game does not have, like, a quest log.
Yeah,
and so if you're like, okay, I've talked to this person here, and this person at this port, and this person at that port, and I've got different options of things I could do right now, mm-hmm. but if I click a button... There's no place it goes, here's the various things people have asked me to do and where to go.
It's kind
of if you don't write those down yourself,
right.
they're off your radar.
It's kind of a weird binary log where you have a status of having this quest or not having this quest. And it's not you have the quest or not. It's you have the quest value of one.
Right. And that doesn't tell you... you've left off.
It means you have the quest, but you have a value
of one.
So that
doesn't tell you if you have to
go to,
like...
And as you progress down the quest line, you get a value of that quest line 2.
Right.
And now you have a value of that quest line 3. And it's very similar to Fallen London. And again, the more I play Fallen London, the more that kind of, as I'm internalizing that interface, it starts to make a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
It's still not extremely intuitive. But I'm starting to comprehend it a little bit better. But I agree, it's really sometimes really hard.
I keep a stack of post-it notes next to my laptop when I play it, and just scribble like, deliver X to Y. You know, pick up so and so. My navigator mm-hmm. wants to go to wherever. I need to bring the shadowed stranger's package to such and such. Keep, and then I just cross them out as I do them. And there are some that you get used to, and you kind of know what's coming.
You always start with kind of the same
ones. A certain number of simple ones, yeah. But it is a little frustrating where you're like, I'm trying to advance a specific plot line, but then I go, oh, I'm running out of fuel or food. Mm-hmm. I have to do some just maintenance quests. And then it's like, okay, if I didn't write that down, if I go click, it's like, oh yeah, there's still that person.
The only way to find out what it was is go back to that town where that storyline.
If you remember what that town was originally. Exactly. And like that's the whole thing. It makes
you work for it.
It really does. And like I said,
it absolutely
to me, if you just keep a piece of paper next to the computer, like that works. But it's like I feel like we evolved past that in most games. Because that used to be a thing. You had to make your own little maps when played games back in the day, because there was no, like, click a button to look at the map of the level you'd seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a strange throwback issue, and I found it very frustrating. And like I said, like, learning to sit and play it, knowing I have to take my own notes, has alleviated much of that. But
see, that didn't bother me as much as the weird tree, like the conversation trees and
like
stuff. Like,
have you gotten
that.
To the island where there's like the sentient monkeys?
No, I did the battle between the mice and the guinea pigs.
Yep. That's another one that's similar. The monkey one is just even bigger.
Yeah.
And so there are four places to visit and build mm-hmm. reputation and do, and it's like, yep, so mm-hmm. it's like your standard with mm-hmm. X faction is 2 or 12 or 17. And you don't know how many you need always.
Sometimes it says you need reputation value of 7 in order to progress
whatever,
the storyline.
But depending on the particular place you're in, sometimes you know, sometimes you don't.
Exactly.
And sometimes you don't know how to get that.
And that is something that they did pull directly from Fallen London. Yeah. And that, again, starting to internalize that, but it's still can be frustrating. Because
you
go to your journal and you look at your own profile and you're like, you have these values. And you're like, I don't know what any of this means.
Yep. It's a little abstract.
Yeah.
What's the other one you're playing?
Styx is a STYX.
I assumed so for some reason. I guess I'm just used to video games now.
Indeed.
If there was an S at the end of that word, I would have assumed it was a Z.
It's a stealth assassin game, if you will, kind of in the vein of Thief or Dishonored.
You're a huge fan of the Thief Indeed. Franchise.
Those stealth games, the ones where you kind of sit back and watch and wait and you know, learn the guards' walking patterns and everything like that, and mm-hmm. then you make your moves. It's one of these games that you can either, you know, go in and quietly kill everybody, or you can try to make it through the entire level without killing anyone. But you progress through the level and you try to follow the storyline. It's a lot of fun. I love these stealth kind of games that you have to be very methodical about, obviously. But one thing that I have been trying to break myself of is, and I mentioned this on Facebook for those of you who follow me on Facebook, I kind of have been, as the years progress, falling into the habit of, because I don't get to game as much as I wish I could, I feel like I need to make that one playthrough that I get the best playthrough possible. And so I tend to overthink it and over Google it and not just let it happen.
Yeah, I saw your post about that and I get it totally.
Like, you know, playing this game Styx, you know, I played the first level, and every time, like, a guard spotted me or something like that, it was like, damn it, you know, my run was ruined, and as soon as they saw me, I was already hitting reload. And it was like, the whole point of the game is to, you sometimes mess up and you let it play out, and if they kill you, then you reload, but otherwise, try to get away.
Yeah.
Try to fight him. Try to, you know, instead of just,
and there is
no,
a,
this needs a, to be perfect.
There's a fine line there, too, though, because, like, not to jump ahead too much, but, like, I started playing, finally, Fallout 4,
mm-hmm.
and I put a few hours into that. And now that's one where I've learned to go, ah, crap, that's right. When I play a Fallout game, every now and again I have to hit quick save when nothing's happening, because it sucks to be, like, working your way through a warehouse.
Oh, you absolutely have to.
And you lose a half hour because you die. And the last autosave was when you walk in the door. And you're like, I was on the fourth floor out of 5. Yeah. Shit. So, that's fine.
Absolutely.
However, if I make a choice...
you save a lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But if I do make a choice, I just stick with it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's how it goes.
Whereas I get frozen up in those decisions where I go, well, which option is going to be the best option for me?
Right.
You know, and then I sit there and go, I don't know which option to go with, so the next thing I know I'm Googling what the rewards are for each option
and
the full repercussions of my decisions, like what fallout later will come because of that decision. It's like, no, just make a decision in the moment and own it.
I'll do some of that depending on the game. Like,
but I do it too much. I do it with every decision.
You're just spoiling the game.
Yeah, like... I drink, but you can always do too much.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
So I
but like with there are some games where, like, with like Rogue Legacy, you know, which we've talked about a lot back when we both were first getting into it, that has skill trees.
So much.
And one of the things that I finally broke down and just went to their wiki to see, okay, where do the various skill trees go so I could see, like, long-term, where should I be investing my points? And because I know how I like to play. What are the things that will allow me to get points in the ways I play? But then I still just play the game itself as I would. Whereas, like, playing Fallout now, I don't go, well, what happens if I make X decision or Y decision at such and such settlement? I'm just going to find out.
Yeah.
You know, and it may suck. And that's actually, that came up because one of the, Megan never finished New Vegas. So that was on sale with a Steam sale. She picked it up. She's got a new laptop this week. Mostly so she could just sit next to me and we could both just play video games because we'd rather do that than communicate. And she picked up New Vegas and reinstalled it and has just, you know, rolled a new character and is getting into it. And one of the things you can do when you're doing, like, your perks and stuff is, I forget what the official name for it is, but it's essentially, like, wacky mode. And it's, like, crazy things may happen out in the, you know, wilderness that you should be prepared to have be, you know, a little out there and beyond what you might think would normally happen. Not a choice if you want to have, you know, if you're going to be uptight about your playthrough.
Yeah.
And she's like, did you do this? And I said, no, because I knew I might not like it, and I would also like to know what the game was as intended. So, and I've only played through New Vegas once. I said, so to me, that's like the day I go back and play it again, I would choose that and be like, oh shit, like a guy with bunny ears shows up and hands me an AK-47 at some point. That's hilarious. Or, oh shit, a guy with bunny ears shows up and just like kills my dog. Like, you know, whatever that, but whatever that weirdness might be.
Right.
I don't want that. I don't want that to happen the first time. I want to do the game.
Right.
You know, and then now throw a layer of crazy shit on it. And then it might be interesting to see the comparison. But otherwise, how will I know if this is the normal game or the weirdness?
But does it matter?
Maybe not. And that's the thing.
And
but I'm not bold enough to take that step, first step through.
And I haven't been, and I'm realizing I need to be. Because I really, functionally, only do get one shot at these games. I don't have the time to go and play a game back. I have been playing Skyrim since January of 2014.
Yeah.
I need
You're
to
just alone in that though.
I need.
I was about to say power. That's
no.
If you gotta pick a game, that's a good one.
But hold on, on my first playthrough,
right? No, yeah, for sure.
So once I finally finish that game, I'm done.
Yeah,
like I'm not going back and going. All right, now I'm going to see what happens if I do this.
Yeah, if I'm
that's not happening.
Different race, or I choose
a different race, and I choose
path.
A different faction, and things like that. No, that's not happening. Okay, so I just have to own my decisions and be okay with it.
Real quick sidetrack. Do you think the way you play a game like that is the same way you make your decisions in the real world?
Obviously not, because in the real world you can't go to a
but
wiki.
But do you think you agonize over decisions because you're not, you want to find the perfect outcome? Or do you just kind of go, this seems all right, let's just do it?
To be fair, that's my job.
Sure.
To agonize over all of the possible outcomes.
Absolutely.
But, you know,
there's maybe
a separate pressure with employment where I have to do things that I would not normally do in decision making, like if I'm given a time limit or an employer saying you got to pick A or B before you clock out today. Whereas, like, you know, in general, like if you were to choose, like I've got to shop for something, like a new large appliance or a car, or I have to make a relationship decision. Do you sit there and try to, in your brain, go through all the various story branches?
Yep.
And is that a thing that you can do quickly, or does that take you an agonizing amount of time that you lose sleep over?
Well, I...
Often, it's losing sleep.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I just know.
Is it similar, then, to your play style when you do a game that has kind of branching paths for a character?
Yep.
You think it plays out similarly?
Totally.
Right on. What do you think?
Except that I know some people will research. Like, they'll look in the wiki for the game or things like that.
Or you'll Facebook stalk somebody.
Yeah. I don't actually do... like hardcore research like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's the big difference. Like, if I'm working, I'll research, but when I'm playing a game, I won't.
Sure. That makes sense.
I guess, I don't know if car buying is a really good example.
I'm just trying to think of, like, things that have weight to them, like a situation. Like, because, you know, if it's like, should I buy chunky or smooth peanut butter?
God.
That's just like and
it's
if you change
obviously a chunky.
I know, that's part of
why. But
I'm
having said
up.
Car
but
buying.
You could just do the next one the next day.
Having
it wouldn't
said,
be a big deal.
Yeah.
So some of the lasting consequences.
Said car buying, I totally did just go, this one doesn't feel right. I did that until I got into a car. I'm like, this one feels right. And Jesse's like, seriously, that's how you're picking your car? I'm like, yep.
But I think that there is something to that, because that I still can, because when you're researching different when you're looking at the wiki of a game for the different outcomes, you're not necessarily always looking at the one that is the optimal one that the speed gamers are gonna go, this is the best way to get a speed run done. You're looking for the one that you like the most,
suits you.
Which one that,
for
exactly.
car buying makes and perfect sense.
And for car
sense.
Buying, like, but
the Consumer
but I will
Report
absolutely,
might say this one has a slightly better safety rating or slightly better gas mileage.
And I will
like,
look at it.
This feels right because of my stature or my needs to drive shit to and from Fest.
But
or,
if that's what's you know. Important to you.
Right, exactly.
I will absolutely research which car has the most trunk space. Because I have to carry a lot of shit.
You got a lot of
Fest.
Bodies to carry.
Exactly. I've got a lot of stuff I need to transport to Fest.
Right.
So
no,
if I
reason
if,
I buy a truck.
So if there's
yeah.
a car which has a tiny trunk, that's just not happening. And I feel like...
But you do put in some time ahead of time.
I put in some time in real time. I think because it I don't wiki the game before I play the game. I wiki the game as I'm playing the game.
Okay.
I'll have the game open on my computer and in my
right.
on my phone, I'll be doing which path I want to go.
The big example for me of that very was similar. Kingdom of Loathing. I always had the wiki open in a different window.
Exactly.
If I got an item, I could find out what it did.
Exactly.
Because they often
very
hide
similar
what the
to
items
that.
Effect
so it's,
are
it's
under
not,
a layer
it's
of
not
narrative.
Research before, it's research during. And so when I'm car buying, for example, I will look at all of the options available to me. And then I will test drive all of them, and I will see which one has the best trunk space, and I will see which one runs the best, and I will see, and you know, and then I will make my decision based on all of that. I'm not going to go, I like the color on that one the best.
Right.
You know, so I think, yeah, but I think most people buy cars that way.
I would think to say, I mean, it depends. I mean, I do know people that will sit, and they will know the exact car they want before they leave the house.
Okay.
And they will
well,
either
well,
get that or nothing.
Here's one. Yeah. We recently bought a dishwasher.
Right. And that was one of the things I was thinking of.
And one that is, I sat in the store, and all of the dishwashers were in two rows, you know, back to back. So they were kind of in a long peninsula. And I went down and up those two rows over and over and over again, because I was looking at all of the different ones, and then eliminating one, and then eliminating the next one, and eliminating until I was finally down to two, and I went back and forth between those two 17 different times, mm-hmm. talking out the different aspects of them that I liked about this one and not this one, but this one doesn't, and using Radially as a sounding board for, you know, that stuff. So I think the answer to your question is yes.
Yeah. I would say, oh no, I think I'm a third yeah. yes on that, is that I think the way I play a game reflects my decision-making style in general. My parents stopped over this weekend, and we were talking about, I forget how we got onto it, something about tattoos. And I don't think they'd really seen Megan's tattoos, and because I think she'd mentioned something about that, and... So I was like, oh yeah, like show. So like Megan was wearing like a button-up sweater or something. So she has full sleeve tattoos, you know, shoulder to wrist, and then just got a new chest piece that completely covers her chest. And mom's like, oh cool, and like, you know, I was checking it out and like, oh what's that? Oh look at that color, whatever. And she's like, yours are really great. And I'm like, yeah, Megan hates my tattoos. And mom's like, what? And she goes, yeah, his tattoos are terrible. It's like, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. You know, like the exceptions, perhaps, which is what we kind of agreed on, is like my Kingdom of Loathing guy, it looks exactly like the logo for Kingdom of Loathing.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
can only look that good because that's as good as it looks. And like, honestly, like the Fearless on my knuckles is a good representation of that old school font
sure.
for that style of tattooing. Everything else is to a varying degree of competency and whatever, but like they're what I wanted and what I got, mm-hmm. and I'm fine. I like them all. But she's like, oh God, no. I, you know, spend years thinking about what I want. I spend time like seeing an artist, multiple appointments, and go through the thing, and then I book an appointment, and sometimes that's 8 months out. You know, so she, a tattoo for Megan is often like a 1 to 3 year process. And for me, it's, her, I feel like getting a tattoo today. And I
see,
go to the
I would
tattoo
say,
shop and get
I would
a tattoo,
say
you know?
Her body is like a canvas on which oil paintings are produced. And yours is like acrylic finger paints.
I was going to say, I'm like the brick wall behind the hardware store. Spray paint on.
That might be better.
But that is a very good example, I think.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
my rule is once I decide what tattoo I want, I wait a year to see if
yeah.
I still want
still
it
like
in
it.
A year.
Yeah. And when people, and for some reason, if you have tattoos, people ask you whether or not they should get a tattoo. which I always find insane. Because to me, it's like, if you're asking, the answer is probably no.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's the same thing. Like, there's a few things where people are like, should I? And I go, if you're asking me, no. You know, like, I'm thinking of getting this tattoo. What do you think? I'm like, if you're asking someone else if you should get your tattoo, nope. Yep. Wait. Just keep waiting. You know, so, I don't know. I've been thinking, should I have an open relationship? If you're asking, nope. No, you shouldn't. Should I? I'm thinking of having kids. Nope.
No.
Like, no.
Don't do it.
Oh, my God.
That even is if, just good advice, period.
Even if you're like, I'm going to have kids. No.
But just well, there are certain things where you... And there is one thing to just go, I want to understand people's experience. That's fine. But there's a level of like, I'm literally looking for someone to convince me. There are certain things I believe you should not have to be convinced of. You should be explaining and convincing other people why your decision is the correct one.
Right.
Yeah, like, the, ooh. And so, like, yeah, it's interesting.
To be fair, he got kids the same way, so.
It's like, eh. Like, why not? But, yeah. Oh, that reminds me. So, yeah, video games. I've been playing Fallout 4. It's been pretty delightful. I can't tell if I'm going to get bored with the base building element, which is new in this one. Have you, either you guys or both of you guys played this one?
I've watched my brother play a bit, and I just got it for Jess, and she tells me tidbits every once in a while.
Sure. So, like, most of it is exactly like you'd expect from a Fallout game.
Yeah.
And that's all super satisfying. Some of the same factions from the other games. That's great. And then, but you also, like, you clear out, like, a little home base around where you start, and then, like, people will kind of occupy it, and then you can, like, tear down the busted out houses and rebuild a fort, sort of. And it's like, I don't know if I want a SimCity element to my Fallout. And so I kind of have just sort of been pushing it off. But at some point, you get, like, oh, the people, there's a happiness rating for that. And I'm like, ooh, I kind of just like wandering through the wasteland with dog meat and shooting stuff.
Do you have to do that element of it, though?
I don't know how much you do. I'm not that far in. I've only put 10 hours in total.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know Steve was spending a lot of time on his bar, but...
And some people really, really like that aspect.
But that's because that aspect, I think, is fun for him. I don't think it's just...
What feel like will probably happen is I will have days where I don't really feel like working on a quest, or I've been stuck on a mission, and so I'll go, screw it, today I just put furniture in places, and I can just kind of like mentally check out and just do that. Or there's, you know, like, I've been doing so far, which is just, I just like going east and just seeing what happens, and then eventually I get killed by something and fine. You know, that's cool too. But like, I saw a neat thing, and like, that's kind of my enjoyment of those type of things.
Sure.
But so yeah, it's interesting. I'm enjoying it so far. The boys played it a little bit. He's into it. My roommate got it back when it was new, and so he'll walk in and be like, "Oh, you're there." And then it's every now and then it's really fascinating to hear some insight. And every now and then I'm like, "Dude, I'm in the middle of playing it. Don't tell me what's about to happen."
You know, if I was your roommate, I would just do that all the time, whether or not I knew what the fuck was going on.
That's a good idea.
I've done that. Oh my God, watch out for the zombie cows.
Right?
Shit.
I did that, and I played a little bit of the recent games. I think maybe you got this for me, Salsa. Lakeview Cabin Collection?
Yeah.
Is that the one? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I know I watched a trailer for that, and was like, it was on Steam, and I was like, that looks amazing. And then I was sitting around, and Megan and I were like, all right, let's play this thing. And it's like some kind of horror movie thing, right? Yeah. Okay. And so we load it up, and it gives you nothing. No introduction, no tutorial, no control scheme, nothing. So I'm like, cool. And it just recommends you use a controller. So I plug in an Xbox controller. And the first button I hit, the screen completely shifts, and there's a different character in the center of the screen. I'm like, okay. Hit the button again, totally different screen, totally different character. Fourth time, totally different screen, totally different character. And then back to the first. I'm like, oh, I have four different people I'm in control of. Huh. And then I realize when I take the first guy and walk to my right, I see the second guy. So I can use different people that are all in the same reality and the same level. Cool, what does that mean? And so I figure out then the first thing that happens is you enter like a movie theater, and there's playing in that cinema are Lakeview Cabin 3, 4, 5, and 6 or something like that. They're basically like Friday the 13th sequels.
Okay.
And so if you enter one of those doors, you are now in that movie. And you are controlling four characters in that movie.
Okay.
And they're all set slightly differently. One is at a camp, like Crystal Lake. One is in, like, an urban environment. One's in space, you know. And it's, like, cool. So you have a like the equivalent of the length of like a Super Mario Brothers, the original one level, that you can run around with these four characters, and there's environmental things, and I don't know what. And so I wander around for a while.
Huh.
And then I learn how you can pick up certain objects, and then you can drop them or throw them. And then I can switch to another character and run around. I can go in some doors. I can look through some, but not go into them. But nothing happens. I've achieved one of 39 achievements for this game, which is that's not what it's for, because I picked up one of the other people I could control and chucked them, and they happened to land in a wood chipper.
Oh, God.
Spread gore over everything. Oh, I was like, what the fuck? And Megan's like, oh, my God.
That and I was like, wait, am fantastic. I the
murderer? Are we all the murderer? Who? Wait, who's the killer in this game? And I went, do you remember what this game was about? She goes, no, I just remember we watched the trailer and, like, favored it one night. And I was like, yeah, I know, but what are we doing? So we exit the game, we go back to Steam, and we watch the trailer. It answers almost none of our questions. It shows us mostly what we've seen, but is very creative and funny. I'm like, yep, that's why we favorited this, because it's really charming. What? What do we do? Then we went and just read reviews on Steam. And finally there was one that was just like, okay, this is a little tough to get into, but basically you play like the four characters in a given horror movie that are supposed to be trying to survive. And at some point, somewhere, a killer shows up. You have to use those environmental things, i.e. the wood chipper, to try to kill the killer.
Okay.
And survive. But the game literally tells you nothing. You just have to figure out what you can interact with and move and how. And then when the killer shows up, evade and try to kill it while switching between characters to theoretically keep all four alive. And we kind of looked at that and went, our brains hurt. Let's go play Fallout.
Yes.
We went back and did that and just shot mutant dogs in the face. So I love this idea, but it is... I'm afraid that I'm not smart enough for it yet, so I'm going to wait until I have like a Saturday and be like, okay, whew, let's do this. Like, I've just had breakfast. Mm-hmm. Like, let's give it an hour and really puzzle through it, because I'm bad at games that require like five moves ahead. Like, I'm terrible at like Braid. I was really, really bad at that.
I love that.
I love that game, but I can only get through the like first.
No, but I love that thing.
Concept
where you have to reason and try so hard, and puzzle it out.
There are certain games that Jesse and I will play together,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of those puzzle story ones are kind of like, you know. I want to say Home Alone, but that's so not it. Like, wait a minute,
home?
Huh?
Gone Home.
Gone Home.
Yeah,
like those. Which is good. Those I like kinds that game. Yeah, of things are fantastic.
Yeah, like Megan and I played through the Telltale Borderlands game because I was like, you need to know what Telltale games are because these are right in your wheelhouse. And so she's never played Borderlands, but you don't need to do the Telltale game version. So like, we played through that and it's like, all right. And so then I picked up on that Steam sale the new Telltale Batman game.
Yeah.
And we almost started that, but I was like, you know what? If we start this, either we're staying up till 4 in the morning.
Yep.
Or we're going to be disappointed. So, like, let's wait. Like, let's wait for the opportune moment. Because I feel like the average Telltale game, you're looking at, like, 40 minutes per chapter. And you're averaging 5 chapters, I think. You know? So it's like, let's just pick a night where we have nothing else to do. And we'll just, like, go headlong probably through the whole thing. Because that's another thing. Speaking of choices in games... With a Telltale game, you just kind of have to go and you're stuck doing what you're doing.
No, exactly. Which is and Telltale games, the Walking Dead was
so brutal.
I froze up so much in that game because choices would come up and I would go, I don't know.
Because you can't picture the outcome.
Even if I can picture the outcome, I don't know what down the road is what repercussions there's going to be. And so I would inevitably find myself on Google going, what is this going to change?
Right.
Yep.
And I kind of grew to hate myself doing that because I wasn't enjoying the game. It was becoming a chore. It was becoming a job. It was becoming a research paper instead of a game.
The Telltale games especially, I just kind of went, I'm going to commit to just going. And if I really want to know, I'll go play through it again because they don't take too long. You can do it in an afternoon. But I'm like, I just have to just try. Otherwise, you'll do exactly what you described and just agonize over everything, and you're basically paralyzed. So yeah, looking forward to actually playing through that one. We'll see how that goes. Anything else major we've been doing lately?
I've started booking for Die Laughing.
Yay!
which is me and a
which
spreadsheet.
Which is German for the laughing.
Oh, God. I hate you. I hate you so hard.
I'm super proud of myself.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't be. Oh, please don't be. Awesome. Just, no. Oh, just dope. Be done.
Shh. Shh. Only better.
But yeah, I've started, it's my giant spreadsheet of doom where I try to figure out who I'm putting where for how many cookies. And it's, I take into account the genre, the rating, like, is it for kids or mm-hmm. Is this something I can only put on at 3 a.m?
The availability,
yeah. The people involved, because if I have somebody who's put in for like 3 separate things, usually I'll try to keep them, you know, within the same few hours.
Make it one.
But still kind of, you know, break it up a little bit so that they're not back to back to back. And it's, yeah, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So I've started that insanity.
It's that scene from UHF where they're figuring out their programming. And they're like, well, if we move, like, drink from the fire hose to 3 p.m., then oatmeal fun can go to 5. But every other Tuesday is painting with grandma, and they're just, like, moving chunks of colored paper around on a graph.
Yes.
Trying to, like, literally
and
put together
fact,
a puzzle. Yeah.
Actually, I think that's how they do it for Fringe.
It may be. Yeah.
Like, I've seen, like, pictures where they have colored pieces of paper, and these are the good time slots, and these are the mm-hmm. bad ones, and these are, you know.
Sometimes being able like, to literally move around puzzle pieces yeah. makes it easier to do that, because if you make it too abstract, things can fall
I don't have
cracks.
Enough wall space for that shit, though.
Sure, yeah, no.
Well,
exactly.
And the one thing that the Fringe has that I don't is that they...
A team of people?
Yeah, well, yeah, like a paid team of people to do all of that. But also, every single one of their shows is 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all they're booking for. Whereas yeah. I've got, you know, one that's like a half an hour, one of them that's like 3 hours or some shit. Yeah. It's like, fuck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's exciting.
Nice. I think I've been doing fuck all, really. Because it was a holiday week. Yeah.
Right, good for
Although,
you.
Although, well, it's kind of nice because that means I've actually played some video games. But as I was, Megan and I were talking yesterday, and I was like, I'm... kind of a dick this week, aren't I?
Well, yes.
And she's like, I mean, and I was like, no, I mean, like, literally, I'm just kind of grumpy, and I think it's because I'm not busy. And it's like, looking back at the last time I felt like I was just being grumpy, it was before I had a bunch of stuff to do, you know, like performing and rehearsing
You're
or whatever.
Bored.
Kind of, yeah, and it's like, it, for about a week, that's amazing, but I've had like 3 weeks now, or four, and I'm like, uh-oh, okay, cool, need a new project. And so there's a couple things now that I'm kicking around. But yeah, it is interesting to see how, like, I just kind of, I'm like a shark. I have to keep moving, or I just get grumpy. You know?
It's a good thing I just gave you something to do, huh?
Am I right?
Right.
But no, that's the thing, you know, and there are certain things on the horizon, but I don't have a 5 nights a week thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I need to do is either create those things for myself, mm-hmm. or, you know, yeah, pick up... odd jobs where they come up, but I've got a few odd jobs like that are always kind of on the horizon.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's been interesting to kind of like have that self-actualization moment of like, oh shit, it's not just that I like doing this and want to do this, it's that like kind of I need to, or
yep.
I don't even like who I am. Which that's an interesting thing to learn. Like,
Probably doing better than I am at this point. I came home to a 20-minute tantrum.
Fun.
And this
from
tan-
which one?
Raiderly.
The older one.
Yeah, Raiderly. The oldest one.
And I don't know how long this tantrum had been going on by the time I got home.
Oh, that's fun.
So, yeah, it was probably, I'm guessing, a half-hour tantrum.
Oof.
that was going on.
Well, how old is she now?
3.
Yeah.
And it was one of those situations where we could not relent. We had to win.
Mm-hmm.
You have to win that argument. Otherwise, your life is going to be miserable from that point on.
Right.
Yep.
You know.
There's a certain amount of establishing dominance.
Exactly. It was.
Yeah.
Well, also, no, you don't get to go light that thing on
exactly.
fire.
Yep.
Like, there
yeah.
are certain
exactly.
things that you're
was,
in charge for a reason.
You are in trouble, and you are in timeout now, and I don't care if you... have seen the error of your ways and everything like that, you are still going to serve your sentence.
Yeah.
no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, you're very nice, and I know you've been crying and screaming for the last half hour, but now that we're calmed down, you're going to serve your time, mm-hmm. and then you can go. Yeah. Like, it was one of those situations, so it was like, she was dealing with that, and I was like, do you need my help? No? I'm going to be over here.
Yep. It's like, I will go keep the other one occupied.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, because this needed to play itself out.
I lucked out with that, with my kids being in such disparate ages.
Yeah.
Is that Austin, in his worst year or two of tantrums, Coda was 8 or 9. So it was like, it wasn't like he had to worry about, like, oh crap, the baby needs changing or feeding, yeah. and the other one's flipping out. It was just like, Coda's like playing the Wii, and Austin's freaking out. We can go, cool, buddy, you're on timeout in your room. And he could just be in there, and she's like, I don't give a fuck, he's not by me.
Well, that's one of the things. She was like, you know, she was actually like, I just want to be sent to my room, basically. And we're like, well, that's not happening now.
Right.
Yeah.
You have taken that option off the table.
Options are for people who are not in trouble.
Exactly.
Right.
But this is the first one that has been this bad. Mm-hmm. Like, so either we're getting into that territory, or we've got a ridiculously good kid.
And and some kids never really go too far into that. That could be, you know, or maybe you're in for a little bit of a ride, but, like, it doesn't matter long
term. She is a super strong-willed kid.
Yeah, you just gotta, it's like, all right, you know, you'll learn what your specific kid does, and you'll be fine, but, you know.
But it was just, I walked in the door and went, uh-oh. This is...
The one I'm dealing with lately, and part of this I know is my own, just like, this weekend, but the boy is so focused on what's new that it gets exhausting to me, because it's like, whenever he comes over, if he has, like, right now he's got, like, a GameStop gift card. It's like, okay, I think he came over Thursday like he does for dinner, and we went to GameStop. We went to go get a game, and we bought it, and we leave. And then we're in the car, and he goes, there's no game in here. What? And, like, the case was empty. So, like, oh, they must have forgot to grab it. So I pull over quick. Megan runs in. And turns out they just didn't have one. They just had the empty clamshell on the shelf, but they didn't have any copies of it. So it's like, oh, that's a drag. So they just refunded the gift card, and so whatever. Mm-hmm. He still had the money. And I know, I've been a child with gift cards like Funko Land or GameStop and stuff. Like, I totally get the idea that just burning a hole in your pocket.
Yeah.
However, as of that Thursday, which was the first day Austin found out there was a PlayStation 4 at Dad's house with 6 games...
Oh, God.
He, you know, that's like, okay, so we came back to my place. Oh, sorry, buddy. Like, they didn't have it. You know, we'll try again later. And so he played Fallout 4, which he'd never played before and had a great time. And then he came over the following day for the weekend. And it was like, Friday, pick him up from mom. Can we go to GameStop? Dude, not tonight. It's literally been a day. They don't have that game right now. Like, they didn't have it. The odds that someone came in, sold that game, and they have it there, pretty slim. Like, plus, we have shit to do.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to go to the Ville show tonight. By the way, took the boy to Ville.
Which,
really,
yeah.
Saw
you there. Was Jessa was like, wait, didn't he fucking leave or something? I'm like, that's my girl.
Yep. Okay, like, went home, hung out for a bit, made some dinner, went to Ville, came home. And then, like, Saturday morning, get up, starting to make breakfast. So, can we go to GameStop today? Like, buddy, I'm literally making coffee and making you breakfast. I have not thought thing one about what we're doing today. So I don't know. Maybe not. I don't really care right now. Right now I just want to make your breakfast. And so he goes off and he plays some more Fallout or something. And boop, 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 and then feed him breakfast. Okay, cool. Start checking emails and doing all the shit I have to do every day.
But
so
you
think
said
we go to
breakfast.
GameStop?
Yeah.
Today? Dude, I don't know. Probably not. Like, I don't really feel like going to GameStop. It's cold. It's shitty out. Like, let's just relax and chill. Okay. Cut to 3 hours later. Sure wish we could go to GameStop this weekend. I'm like, buddy, quit asking. I wasn't asking. I was just saying. I'm like, the only reason to say it out loud is a roundabout way of asking. And then so finally, like, you know, the fifth time that happened, I was like, dude, you have more games to play than I did in my entire childhood.
Right.
And I know that makes me sound old.
Well, but I mean, you are.
I will also point out that you've played one of the 6 games I own that you do not own, that you were really excited to see, and you've finished none of the games you've ever gotten. Maybe you could play something we own already instead of always needing the next thing that you will also play for 30 minutes and then never touch again. And we could be grateful for what we have. And, you know, some part of me is going, ha ha ha, you're your dad. You know? And he's kind of like... And just sort of went back and, like, you know, played a video game and then watched a movie and did some other shit around the house, played with his action figures and dressed up and ran around playing. He was playing a combination of Fallout, Infamous, and something else. He was all three characters.
Nice.
It was a pretty impressive costume, yeah. But it's like, all right, whatever. And, like, so he had a good day. And then, like, at the end of the night, this is New Year's Eve, it turns out. And so, I was like, all right, cool. And then it was, he wanted to stay up for New Year's Eve. And Megan's like, I'm going to run to the liquor store. So she came back with a bottle of gin, some beer, and then a bottle of sparkling grape juice.
Nice.
So we could do a toast with the boy at midnight. And I was like, oh, good call. That's really smart. And so we were watching, like, Captain America Civil War, because it's on Netflix now, and I haven't watched it since theaters.
Right.
And so we're all sitting there, and so it is 11:45, and Austin's letting us know every minute how many minutes are left till New Year's. And I'm like,
yep.
Really annoyed by that, but going, you're 10, you need to have this time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So you let him do it. And finally I was like, hey, buddy, tell you what, let us know when we have 60 seconds. And that, like, saved me 9 minutes of that. And we do the thing, and we all pour our little glasses, and he makes a little toast, and that's adorable, and we all have a little sip of that. And we go back to watching the movie. And now his thing is he always wants to watch a movie before bed. And if he goes to bed early enough, I'll go, yeah, leave the TV on, watch a movie. But a lot of times, because we go to, say, a Ville show, or we go to Double Blind, or we go to whatever, we get home at 10:30 and go, dude, it's too late. You can't start a movie now. Because he thinks if he puts a movie on, he'll fall asleep right away. Being not an idiot and watching the pattern is he will watch to the end of that movie, then be up for a half hour, then go to bed. So we're talking 2 in the morning. So now it is after midnight. We've got about an hour and a half left of Civil War. And I'm just going to let him lay there on the couch and fall asleep watching that movie. He goes, so is it too late to watch a movie after this before bed? I'm like, buddy, we are literally watching a movie. Like, I don't know what you think is different from what you're doing right now that constitutes watching a movie before bed, but you are literally watching a movie. He goes, And he puts a blanket over himself and falls asleep in 2 seconds.
Right.
I was like, what the fuck is that about? Because the thing is, if I'd said, yes, you can watch a movie after this, he would have forced himself to stay awake until 2 in the morning, then put on a movie, then fallen asleep. And it's like, so like, this was like a very frustrating parenting weekend for me, going, I know exactly what you're doing because I did all the same moves.
Yeah.
And I know all the reasons why they seem super valid at your age. But god damn it, can I have a moment?
See, like, Jess is 16 now. And she's always
a nightmare. Yeah.
She has always been way older than her age.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 37 going on 16. She's 16 going on 37. Sure. It's awful. She chastised me for playing games when I should have been doing something else. But she's at that age where I can just let her make her mistakes.
Yeah.
Pretty much entirely.
Well, because at that age, they're rarely going to be, like, a mistake that is physically injurious.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, a...
Or even
that's
that long-term.
Right. Let's say, but, like, at Austin's age, short-term. I'm still preventing him from killing himself.
Yeah.
I got a couple more years of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then, like, with Coda, you're just going, you're going to realize that's a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't get you in legal trouble. It won't get you an STD. Okay.
Yeah. And you know, that's it exactly.
Like, you know, but, off you go. Well, and like, yeah, you've hit that same stage,
past couple of years have been choices for doing after school activities versus focusing on schoolwork.
Mm-hmm.
And she learned real quick that if she doesn't do it right the first time, she's going to make it up later. Yep. So, yeah. We haven't had issues with that since. It's like, yeah. I could
Took
pound
me
you to do all
before
of it.
I learned that lesson.
Well,
like, yeah. No, we all.
I'm still not 100% certain I'm there, but you know.
As adults, the three of us are all pretty experienced at the idea of spreading ourselves too thin. Like we all.
What?
Jenna had a date like that.
Never.
Oh, there you go.
Zing.
Are you calling me thin?
No, you were dating an anorexic guy.
Oh,
you're spreading yourself too thin.
Accurate, actually.
You know, kind of like slim.
Shady.
Yeah, his nickname was Thin.
I don't believe that for an instant.
I don't believe we're still talking about this. So
I don't believe we haven't taken a break yet.
I was going to say, yeah, so
know,
that's
right?
The end of our video game. It's some really down-to-earth parenting bullshit.
Yeah,
I haven't even gotten to the game Genesis.
You know what
me,
would
so.
Probably be
Oh, have you been playing it?
Which I one? Haven't. I just said I haven't even gotten to it.
I didn't
I
know
you
had.
I just said those words.
You know
words.
What it's like to be Jenna.
I know.
You said I haven't gotten to it, and I didn't know if that meant, like, in conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Jesus, fair. Fuck, asshole. I mean, you know,
accurate. You no longer know what it's like to be gentle. Yeah. Now, speaking about the idea that we went from talking about video games to, like, all explaining what parenting is like.
Parenting is like a video game.
One of these days,
like Super Meat Boy.
We need to figure out
constant dying.
It is
over and fucking over again.
We need to figure out what our target market is for this show. I feel like there's a hard
target market is yes.
There is a hard divide between those two subjects for a lot of people where they give a fuck about one and not the other.
You know what, Scully. Scully is our target market,
and I'm pretty sure you don't listen.
Yeah, so. There we go. Fucked that up.
And, you know, to be fair, we have never been marketable.
Almost
by definition. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
dear listener, why are you?
Oh my God!
What the art of this?
Why are you?
Why are you a listener of this show?
You know, we ask jokingly, but honestly, like I would love to know what it is that does bring you into this show. Why?
I feel like every now and again we ask that.
And nobody ever answers.
No, I do get the occasional thing, and it is honestly, it's from folks that have been with us since the beginning, and they're just like, at this point,
so they're pot committed.
Kind of. They're just like, at this point, like I'd like to know what you're doing the same way I like to know who my usual friends I hang out with at the pub or the coffee shop or cool. You're just like, at this point, I consider you that. And I'm like, okay, I get that. Which, again, is like a weird way of being grandfathered into giving a fuck. I'll take it.
No, I would love to hear on the Facebook page.
On Facebook, yeah. We should point out, too.
I think it's because they like the coffee discount.
That is probably true. I should point out, I think I mentioned this properly the last couple episodes, but when we've said, hey, let us know, I've tried to make sure I mention comment on the Facebook. We've locked up our website pretty tight because we don't want a repeat of the previous disasters. So yeah. Commenting on individual episodes on the website is not a thing. However, we do post a link for the show. So, you know, comment on that. That's a great place for us to do it. And honestly, we're more likely to see it.
Right.
Because our alerts for the website are many and varied and not always as reliable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but if you comment on the Facebook post, we all get a little ding, and that's awesome.
Yep.
We still do appreciate everything that gives us feedback, and that's awesome.
Jenna had a date like that
once. Oh, once.
She gets a little ding.
Once.
Let's take a break.
Yes, please.
And then we'll come back, and who fuck knows? We'll do
talking.
We'll do a thing.
We'll do a thing that somehow you are compelled to hear.
We'll talk about parenting and somehow end up with video games.
Yes.
Ooh, if we can pull the full...
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
Yeah. Bell-shaped curve on this show.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna@aonpodcast.com or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm still Matt.
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And real quick, we did mention at the beginning of the show we were having a really delightful drink, I gotta say. Kidding that this is... I don't like a lot of hot beverages. Like, we've done a few for the show. Some, I like a hot toddy. I like a warm mulled cider or a wassail.
Wassail.
Oh, God, that keeps reminding... Like, Megan and I keep talking about how we have to just make a pot of that and just keep it going for a while, because it's getting cold as...
We actually... over Christmas, we had Glühwein.
Ooh, what's that?
It's
basically the same thing?
Yeah, it's mulled wine with spices and various other stuff like that. And oh, man.
Megan's birthday was sometime recently?
Shit, you're one of those. I knew that.
I have a long-standing tradition of not celebrating birthdays, anniversaries, holidays.
Yeah, this doesn't surprise me.
No,
I'm not surprised.
If you had known, I would have been surprised.
Yeah, no. If I needed to, I could find out when... the quote-unquote anniversary of my relationship with Megan is, because I got a parking ticket that night that is still on top of my refrigerator. Figure that out. But, I don't expect nor give gifts for anything.
Except Steam games.
But that's for the hell of it. I'm just saying, like, for a date on a calendar.
No, except the Steam sale.
Okay, sure.
Well, yes.
Pedantic dick.
But that's not because of the date on the calendar. That's because Steam is having a sale.
Yeah.
Also, they just consistently tell you.
Like, sure. Steam cares about the calendar. You care about Steam.
Guess what? Hey.
But anyway, we went out for drinks at East Street Social with Joe, and I just blanked on her name. Is it Audrey or Aubrey? Fuck. Joe's girlfriend, who's amazing. They wanted to take Megan out for drinks. for her birthday, and I don't think it was her birthday that day. It was around there though, so whatever. It was recent,
but not important,
and not really. The point is, the thing I'm tying in is that they had
sweet seg
mulled wine.
There's the seg,
hot, delicious mulled wine. So I got my usual old fashioned because I still think East Street Social makes the best old fashioned in the city, and goddamn, is it so good. So I had two of those, and Megan had a couple drinks, and then it was like, you know what the time is ripe for.
Turbo Dog?
Ooh. God damn. You know what? Turbo Dog is the shit.
Yeah, isn't it?
Have we talked about that lately?
We really have.
You know what? You know what? Vamp.
I was about to beatbox, but nobody wants that.
So, but we were talking about hot, delicious drinks.
Yeah, we were.
Because it is, you know, nighttime, and I don't necessarily want to be... Okay, let me rephrase that. I do want to be up until 3 o'clock in the morning playing video games, but I shouldn't. Be up until 3 o'clock in the morning playing video. Exactly. So I have stopped. I had two mugs of the coffee drink, and that was very, very good. And I wish I had more, but I needed to back up on the caffeine. So instead, I am having pee whiskey. Yep, that's right. I am drinking the whiskey that we got from my mother-in-law, poured from the.
Tiny
peeing statue that we also got from my mother-in-law. And look, I don't care. It's really, really good whiskey.
All right.
So
that's what I had to pull up. Speaking of Turbo Dog.
Oh, my God.
What?
Friend of the show, Dennis.
Holy
of,
shit.
Dennis and Heather of Does a Decade Matter podcast, etc. Sent me a photo of the Turbo Dog Clipper Kit, which is
oh
a
hair
is that like a dog like a grooming CVS or a Walgreens or something, but
probably
it's,
yeah.
It's basically it looks exactly like the razor I used to give myself a mohawk, but this one apparently because it's called Turbo Dog,
yeah, it's for dog clippers, dogs. Which is yeah. The same as hair clippers.
There's as far as I can tell, there is no difference.
It's
that.
Like the same brand,
but he
used
sent me that photo with a caption, "What a sellout." So that made me super happy.
Ain't nothing wrong with a sellout.
I got that.
Gotta
like,
make your money.
Right? Yeah, I got that photo like 2 weeks ago, and I feel really bad that like I forgot to bring that up earlier. But I'll post that on our Facebook.
That's great.
But I was like,
yeah.
he's also gonna paste a picture of the peeing statue.
The peeing statue, yeah. But he sent the what a sellout in the picture, and I was like, oh, that bastard. And he followed up with, and to Sunbeam, has he no shame? Like, you know, at first I was also outraged, and I was like, you know what? Turbo Dog got to get paid.
Yeah, no,
gotta stack that paper. Like Turbo Dog got bills.
You know, we don't really get paid in cash, but we do get paid in sweet, sweet coffee. Like,
finally, the segue comes all
yes,
the way.
You are
around.
Welcome.
If
bitches.
You're gonna live the Turbo Dog lifestyle,
you're gonna need some coffee to do it.
Yeah, you are.
Turbo Dog.
You're cut off. No more peppermint for you.
I quit.
Look, go ahead.
All right.
One of the things we do know is when Turbo Dog gets his royalty check, he backhands the person paying him and says, "Give me my money, bitch." So it's all good.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I'm
unquitting because this has gone off the rails already.
I don't know what's going on anymore.
I'm drinking pee whiskey.
Seriously. All right. Well, here's the deal. As delightful as our drink is tonight, it would only be so delightful because we have the True Stone coffee as one of the base components. Sure, we could have made this drink with other coffees. We literally have the option because, you know, we are all adults and could buy whatever coffee we like. However, we are smart adults, which means we therefore buy True Stone coffee, which you can get yourself from True Stone Coffee if you go to truestonecoffee.com. And as an added bonus, as a listener to our show, you can use the promo code...
Apropos!
If you must, apropos, if you will.
If you speak actual English.
To get yourself a discount, whatever. Get those beans.
French in this case.
Yeah, get those beans shipped directly to your house. And, like, look, they will have a million different ways you can prepare their delicious coffee for delicious coffee drinking. And don't forget, they do have cold press as well, which is phenomenal. You yourself, like us, may occasionally choose to modify that coffee beverage by adding a little something extra. And I will tell you, it does blend well with many of the things with which you might blend a coffee. We've done that on more than one occasion here, and it is delightful. So once again, go to True Stone Coffee, get yourself a delicious coffee. They have light, dark, whatever medium roast you want, and they also have the cold press. Get them shipped to your door and get a discount by using our code
Apropos.
Okay, apropos.
That's not even...
It's not... Okay. You know what? It's,
apropos-y?
No.
Yo.
We need an apropos-y.
Yes!
Yeah. Okay, from now on, that instead of saying listeners...
Yes, it's our apropos-y.
Hello, apropos-y. Yeah.
Oh, we're assholes.
I can't decide if this is a great idea or a terrible one.
I think you mean you can't decide if this is a great idea or the best idea.
No, that's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you again, True Stone. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And, you know, go give them some love because they gave us some. That said, we are nearing the end of the show, which means it is time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
And we are still digging through older Fast Fives because I've still got a few. This one comes to us from one of our long-term heavy hitter submitters because, holy shit, do we get a lot from him, Mud.
Yay, Mud!
Yay, Mud!
This one is from November 30th of 2012. So, question one. And once again, if you're new, the way Fast Five works is A or B choice, Coke or Pepsi, with no context. We pick our things and why, and then we find out what the question writer was thinking. Question one, hermit crab or goldfish?
Hermit crab?
Why?
Because it's got a shell.
He makes it's a
hard
good
to
point.
Argue with that logic. It does, in fact, right? have a shell.
And when
a goldfish does not.
And hermit crabs can wear cool things as shells.
So are you thinking of, like, when you see hermit crabs at the mall and they have, like, Batman shells and they're wearing it and they're, like, running around like...
I am now.
Have you not seen that?
That would require me going to the Mall of America.
Right.
Oh, no, I'm talking about... I saw this 15, 20 years ago when I lived in La Crosse. Like, this is not a new thing. There was a place there, like a pet store, and they had hermit crabs.
That would require me going to the Mall of America?
Again, La Crosse, Wisconsin. Tiny little mall. Pet store.
Like, I don't...
I don't expect you to go to La Crosse. I'm just assuming if they have it there, they probably have it everywhere.
Fair. No, that's absolutely fair. But hermit crabs can wear, like, bottle caps and
sure,
stuff like
yeah,
that.
And that's the thing. Is like this, the which place is cool. I saw them...
Also, when the hermit crab dies... You still have a pretty cool shell.
Oh, whereas the goldfish,
whereas when the goldfish dies, you have a golden turd.
That's true. Yeah. That is true. The hermit crab thing they painted different shells. So like there was like shells with Batman logos painted on them, or shells with, like Superman logos.
No,
on
I grok.
Shit. Yeah, and it was just like, you know what? Someone thought of that and did that with like nail polish or something, and it was like, God damn, we just sold twice as many hermit crabs this week,
right?
And it's like, you know. I appreciate that.
They're
point,
customizable.
Listeners. Yeah. But no, I do like the idea, and you see that online and now and then, like a video of some kind of hermit crab or something like that using a non organic thing as a shell, and I always find that fascinating.
Right.
What do you think, Jenna?
When I was pregnant, I had a desperate need to take care of something, so I got like the little fish in a cube.
I had one of those.
Aqua babies.
I totally had one of those.
Yeah, so and there were two fish in there. And one of them was a pretty rainbow color thing called that I named Princess Phaedra.
Of course.
And the other one was like the silvery thing that I named Sir Galliant. And Princess Phaedra was a bitch and she kept eating all of the food, so Sir Galliant died. And then Princess Phaedra went crazy, maybe with grief or guilt or something.
Could be.
And then she died. And there I am, 7 months pregnant, weeping over the fact that I can't keep anything alive, fish,
yep.
Let alone a baby.
Yep.
So I'm going to say hermit crab.
There you go.
Fish are dumb.
Oh, pause. There was also a snail in that cube, and I didn't do anything to take care of that snail, but it lived on for like 3 years.
Yeah,
its name was Speed Racer.
Snails are pretty boss. Yeah.
So hermit crab, closest thing.
I've had goldfish as pets. I've not had a hermit crab, so I'll say goldfish.
Fair.
Question two, sparkle or no sparkle?
No sparkle?
No sparkle.
I think in general I'm a no sparkle guy.
I love sparkle in a lot of circumstances, but if this has anything to do with vampires.
Oh, good point.
That's kind of what my first reaction was sparkly vampires.
It's been long enough I didn't think about that,
but
this is a four-year-old email.
But at the same time, glitter is the devil.
Glitter is the devil. This is not glitter, necessarily. But this could be, do you like your stars or your Christmas tree?
Sequins are awful.
I'm a belly dancer and sparkle.
Things that sparkle in general are kind of dumb.
Fuck
but
off.
I will say.
Like, I would much rather look at, you know, something with color rather than a sparkly diamond. And I would much rather, sequins are
But, like, a ruby evil. Is colorful.
Yeah, but it's not really a sparkly thing.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
I would think. A polished gem is sparkly. See, the thing is that gave me pause.
Is it
that
sparkly or is it iridescent?
I think both.
Fair enough. Okay.
But I got a nonstick frying pan for Christmas, one of my favorite things. And it is, the nonstick has what essentially looks like blue glitter in the nonstick.
Huh.
So when it's nice and clean, it is sparkly. And it's pretty cool.
Like it's, nice.
I don't, whatever, it's pointless, but I was like, oh,
I feel like there are a few cases where sparkly is not just ostentatious.
I think it is almost exclusively ostentatious. I don't think there's a lot of things that are practically sparkly.
I feel like stars, maybe. But beyond that,
stars are pretty high strung. Yeah. It's about time someone took stars down a peg. That's right, bold stance.
Stars are getting above themselves.
Listen, Apropossi, we are anti-star. That does not mean we're black holes. Yep. We're just anti-stars.
After taking down the high five guys and awful copter, we're setting our sights on stars.
We're setting our sights a bit higher.
Wow.
Bitch. All right.
So in short, I'm going to go sparkle.
All right.
And then, belly dancer. I feel like I have to.
Question three, Lego or Kinects?
Lego.
Lego.
I think I know what Kinects are, and I feel like Lego, as far as which one I want. All right. Question four, Chris Kattan or Will Ferrell?
Ooh.
Oh, which is the more overrated?
Which one is less funny? Which one you're most likely to see a movie faster? Yeah, this is, the context is going to do a lot. However, which one has provided you with more moments of true, like, mirth? Will Ferrell still wins out from some of his old Saturday Night Live
work.
Yeah,
and he's got
Chris Kattan wasn't bad enough.
Will Ferrell is still making movies, whereas what has Chris Kattan done recently?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
I'm going to go Will Ferrell.
I think I got to go Will Ferrell just based on that alone.
I'm going to go Will Ferrell for the opposite reason. It's the most disappointing yet famous comedian.
Because, what was that?
I don't think
was it Stranger Than Fiction?
Funny. Oh.
Was that the one where he, with Emma Thompson?
Oh, was that where you can, like, hear the narrator or the author?
Yeah. I mean, it was a comedy, but it was also kind of serious. Because when Will Ferrell is not being...
When he's not trying, he's fantastic.
Because, like, there was that movie where he was trying, old school, where he was trying to be a frat boy again, which was terrible. But then,
movie.
Like, at the end of the Lego movie...
He kills.
Yeah.
He absolutely kills.
Because it was still a funny movie, but like he was
heart in that movie.
Yeah. Yep. And it was just like, oh, this guy's actually.
Yeah, well, to be fair, he was hilarious throughout as a voice.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Jim Carrey for me. Like, yep. I did not think much of him at all until Truman Show. And then I was like, whoa. Well, fuck. That's.
And I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have a similar thing. Man in the Moon is the one that sold me on Jim Carrey.
Sure.
As a dramatic.
I haven't seen it.
Honestly,
yeah.
Oh, it's really good.
Adam Sandler is kind of the same. Like, when he sits down and does a serious role,
he actually can pull off.
Not to
some
the
of
same
that.
Degree.
No, but he's got some chops that are just generally just hidden under a layer of, I've got enough money to make crap.
Yeah.
And it's more fun to make crap with my friends. You know, it's the Seth Rogen problem. You know?
Yeah.
Sure. But yeah, I would say.
Will Ferrell.
Okay, I'm going to frame it as, which one would I be more likely to see another project by? It's probably Will Ferrell. Not that I have anything against Chris Kattan, it's just that like the odds of that being a thing that is made with any kind of substance or budget are pretty slim. Although, it would be really interesting to see him suddenly come up with like an indie movie. If just like Chris Kattan produces a thing that's just like a whatever, that'd be fascinating. Because I don't think the guy's bad.
No,
I just think he never landed on anything that gave him an outside.
Yeah,
he had the Tim Meadows problem. He never had a role in SNL that gave him the outside of SNL movie using the same character, which is usually your springboard to become something else. And Chris Kattan had that one movie where he was like a spy or something. Corky Romano, was that
it? Yeah, Mafia.
Yeah, and it's just like,
FBI,
that was dumb.
Yeah.
And like that kind of was it. It was like, that's the end. I'm sure he's been in like a million other things.
Oh, well, there was also Night at the Roxbury, but that was also Will Ferrell.
That's true, but that was more of a Will Ferrell slash him vehicle, and it was already clear, I think, that Will Ferrell was the star.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, Friday the 13th, or Nightmare, well, he says in Elm Street, but I'm going to assume on.
Typo. Yeah. So Friday's
Jason, Nightmare's Freddy.
Nightmare's Freddy, okay.
I'm a Nightmare guy. Assuming we're going with it, what's your favorite?
Wait, what are the options again?
Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street. And it doesn't say franchise necessarily. It could just be the original of both.
I've honestly never seen either.
Really?
No.
Interesting. I would
see Nightmare.
Never interested in
I've seen parts of 13th, and I'm just like.
I mean, as a guy who's watched a few horror movies, I would say anyone can live their life never seeing a Friday the 13th movie, because whatever you're thinking of in your head right now is exactly what Friday the 13th is. Nightmare on Elm Street is actually pretty impressive. Like, it's worth seeing as a cultural
touchstone. I'm going with Elm Street simply because he never went to space.
I would like to say, yet. Because until every last human is dead, there's always the option of making
this is absolutely true, but he has
I'm
not
just saying,
yet
give it the dot dot dot. And don't get me wrong, Jason X, or Spacen, as we call it on Horror Show Hot Talk, had some good moments. It was one of the mini movies.
I never saw it, but
yeah,
whatever.
No, sure. It was one of the mini movies. That was the movie that I went to see with my buddy from high school, where I learned to smoke pot out of an apple. But yeah. that is one of the movies that we come across every now and again, especially doing horror movies in podcasting, which is, oh, look, this character is Jason Mewes. Why didn't you hire Jason Mewes? Like, that poor bastard perfected the stoner character that has the long hair, the knit cap, the big oversized clothes, and yet all these movies get someone else, dress them like him, and then put him in. Like, it's not like you can't afford the real guy. He's no one. He sleeps on Kevin Smith's couch.
Right?
Hire that guy. He could use the work. You're just trying to be
he
him.
Would probably
he
say yes.
He would absolutely say yes. I've seen that guy in other movies. He will say yes to anything. He's like Janine Garofalo. He will just show up. All you gotta do is ask.
I had a date like that once.
He'll get done and go, whoa, you're paying me for
yeah,
this,
like,
too?
Wait, what? You don't just get craft services? All right.
Send the check to Kevin Smith's couch.
Yeah, right. All right, so here we go with our context. So question one, was hermit crab or goldfish? Good starter pet for a kid.
Yeah, hermit crab.
Hermit crab's harder to kill, I think.
Yeah. Right?
No, because goldfish is going to die and then the kid's going to freak
Plus,
out.
Plus, goldfish has leaky tank issues. Yeah. And you have to get something like a suckerfish to clean the tank, and then you have to still clean the tank every now and again. And like,
although the snail did a great job.
No, if you get like a couple good suckerfish, you're all right. Cause I had an aquarium in my room for like 10 years as a kid, but it was still a pain in the ass. And I can tell my parents are probably like, "What the shit?
Why?"
So,
Todd, why?
Question. Oh, here we go. Question two: sparkly or non-sparkly? And again, the age of this question is showing. Not your fault, Mud. Ours. How do you like your vampires? Sparkly or non-sparkly?
Non-sparkly.
Yep.
That's just
that's the correct answer.
Yeah. Why?
And then Lego or Kinex? Building toy you'd rather play with. And like I said, I'm kind of unclear on Kinex, but I know that was one I never had as a kid, and it wasn't something I missed.
Kinex is a little bit
they're
more...
okay. But they're not.
Are they the
right
ones that you... Yeah. Okay, yeah. I think I'm kind of thinking of what that is then. And yeah, I would say those are probably fine, but I don't think... To me, there's a level of left brain, quote-unquote, thinking that is implied by some of the more complicated building toys that I just don't possess. I want shit that just sticks together, and I don't want to have to think about like making architecture that has like armatures and moving parts and things. It's just
and Lego definitely has that.
It does now. But as kids, I mean, Lego was just, yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, and it's just like, that's a little more than I would ever do. I just don't do that. You know, I built a race car and then rolled it down the neighbor's driveway with their cars, and we just saw which one went faster. And that's all we needed.
The question should have been which one hurts more when you step on it. But.
Ow.
Lego.
Yeah.
And then Chris Kattan or Will Ferrell, more annoying SNL alumni.
Oh.
I'm going to say Will Ferrell.
I think...
I've not been annoyed by Chris Kattan in a great many years.
Will is just more everything.
That's true.
That's the thing is, and I think I've said this before, is that Will Ferrell doing tiny guest spots and things, I love.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell movies are awful, and... I just kind of want him to go away or only do, like you said, Jenna, like the more dramatic stuff.
Right.
I want that. Or him doing a voiceover is great. Like, that's fine. But I have not watched a Will Ferrell comedy that I thought was funny since maybe Talladega Nights?
But
And we're talking, 10 years, 15 years now?
I still have to go net Chris Kattan.
Mm.
Because Will Ferrell, yes, he does a lot of annoying stuff and a lot more annoying stuff. But there is still a percentage of what he does that is not annoying.
But, I mean, is there a percentage to draw from for Chris Kattan? Like,
no, that's the thing.
But if there is nothing,
is
then...
If you go by percentage, Chris Kattan is 100% annoying. and therefore more.
Because he's got that one movie.
Whereas if you go by quantity...
Poor Chris then Kattan. I feel bad shitting on him, but
no, I do. Yeah. But at the same time, I didn't like any of his stuff.
No. Well, you know, I thought he was fine as a cast member. I don't think he's done anything after SNL that I gave a shit about. I've only seen one thing, and that's on me.
The only thing I can remember is Corky Romano and him Mongo the ape boy or whatever.
See, that was great, but that was SNL.
I hated that.
To me, this question is post SNL. In which case, yeah, you've got nothing good from Chris
Kattan. Obviously, he's way more talented than I'll ever be because I've never been on SNL.
I was going to second that motion for any reason.
Well, yeah, but this is all general terms, but 100% annoying. So if we're going percentage wise, Chris Kattan is more annoying. You're going by quantity,
Will Ferrell has been more annoying
for a longer time. So we can go either way.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. I'm just going to say that Will is more in pretty much all capacities, which does not make Chris better or worse.
Yeah.
Just Will is more.
It's a little apples and oranges today. Because it's like, and then, finally, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, a better horror movie franchise. And I stand by my answer of Nightmare. That one's more interesting.
I will bow to the expert.
I mean, there are people that would vociferously disagree with me. I'm a Nightmare guy.
And probably have.
They have and will.
And continue to
but
do
I'm
so.
But I'm a Nightmare guy. I think that's more interesting.
Quoting you on that. I'm a Nightmare
there
guy.
Yeah. Now put that on my OKCupid.
Yeah.
I think that's a more interesting concept. Like, person who stabs a bunch of people is fine for a movie, but dude who invades your dreams can bend reality offers more opportunity, I think, for interesting things to happen.
It's evil Doctor Strange.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, a little bit. You know. Mm. Evil any doctor, really. Doctor Who, Doctor Strange, Doctor Zaius.
Doctor
Doom.
Doctor Zaius.
Doctor Zaius. Megan was singing that last night, and I was like, that's pretty funny. But not, because earlier in the day, we were watching a movie, and one of the characters is like, what is that? And they go, I know exactly what that means. And they're like translating something. And she goes, no Homers. And that was the perfect Simpsons reference for me. And I kind of lost my shit. And she's like, I love that I can make a joke like that and have someone actually laugh at it. Because that's normally the kind of thing that's just like a wet fart in church. But it's like, nope, that was perfect. I'm a little pissed at you. So you succeeded. Well done. Cool. Well, thank you, Mud, for your Fast Five.
Yeah.
And we've got a few more of these, so we'll work our way through them. That said, slowly. As we are now on our way out of the show, now is the time to pimp things coming up. Anybody have anything to pimp?
Oh, my God, you guys.
Oh, my God.
Die laughing. There is still space.
Which is German for the laughing.
Oh, my fucking God. I hate you guys.
Maybe that should be the subtitle for next year's Die Laughing 4.
The Laughing.
German 4.
This year is 4.
Jesus Christ, this year is 4.
Yeah.
We've been doing this way too long.
The Laughing.
Yeah,
the lack of sleep's getting to
you. Oh, no, it'll fuck with people. Die Laughing 4.
No.
Again. Die Laughing 4. This time it's in Espanol.
Everybody in this room, up to and including myself.
Die Laughing 4.5.
No. Anyway.
People would be so confused if we had two Die Laughing 4s.
No, they wouldn't. Nobody actually pays attention to those
numbers. Die
Laughing 4.
Time to double down.
No.
We just every year have Die Laughing 4. How long have you been doing this? 27 years? Why is it Die Laughing 4? Why not?
We probably should have just started with 4.
I hate everybody.
It would have lended legitimacy.
So anyway, this is our fourth year doing Die Laughing. Tis. And if you would like to come perform with us, I'm not going to say for us, even though it kind of is, because it is a fundraiser for Fearless Comedy Productions.
But you are performing with us. Yeah.
But you are performing with us. We love getting to know and talking to people as they come share their talent and expertise. And we love being able to provide a place for people to try new things. And seriously, if you want stage time, I've still got spots open. I've just started booking now. I'm going to be getting emails out very shortly here. For
reference,
batch.
Die Laughing is April Fool's Weekend.
Yep, year. Weekend of April Fool's.
Which is not a joke. No. It's actually April Fool's Weekend.
No, we're not kidding. That's when it is, you guys.
Didn't think that part through.
You guys, that's when we're doing it. So, yeah, if you go to dielaughingmarathon.com, there's a form there for you to fill out. Just fill that out. And it's it asks all the questions that I will need for just about everything, including teaser text for marketing, including genre and stuff, so I know where to put you.
Yep.
So that you're not stuck between two little kid shows.
Yeah, with your triple X parody of Cinderella.
If you're doing burlesque, yeah, we're not putting you between the two kids.
And
we're not,
yeah, we'd love to have burlesque. Oh, yeah. We'll just make sure you're on an appropriate time to
right.
do burlesque.
Speaking exactly. of burlesque, are we doing burlesque?
I have not yet let myself go. Whatever. I think that's the best time to do it.
One of these days, look at that Jason Voorhees video.
No, I have not yet talked to people about it. There were plenty of people who were interested, and
there were people asked about it. Yeah,
yeah, there have been people asking.
We created a monster there.
It was monstrous. I'll say that.
Look, I'm still going through therapy.
That was self-inflicted on your part.
The bills are like thousands of dollars at this point, and
Somebody really wanted to be the host of that one.
I didn't really want to be the host of that. I just didn't want to inflict that on anybody else. So anyway, there may or may not be burlesque. Or some variant of
also,
naked men on stage.
Also, feel free to BYOB. Bring your own boylesque. If you want to do that, you can.
We don't have to be the only ones doing it.
If you think that would be fun to do, you can do that.
Oh my god, yeah. So yeah. Let's see, what else? Yeah, just apply.
Just
fill out the form. Dielaughingmarathon.com. We've already got some really good stuff coming in.
Excellent.
And I'm super excited for it.
Performers, yeah. Coming up next week, on the same day we record, which would be Tuesday, January 10th, will be the next Fearless Lab show. You've heard me talk about it before, and speaking of getting stage time, that's a great place to try an idea if you want to prep it before Die Laughing, or try an idea in general. I'm guessing there are people that have New Year's resolutions related to getting out and trying some new performance something. And the way the Fearless Lab works is you send me an email, and I give you stage time. It's that simple. It is not a juried process. I just like performers. So if you want to come out and try some stand-up, some improv, some storytelling, puppet show, music, whatever it might be, as long as it's intended to be funny, you too can perform at the Fearless Lab. If you are not the performing type but do like to watch people doing funny things, you can attend Fearless Lab. That is at Honey in Northeast Minneapolis. It's the second Tuesday of every month in general. It does sometimes float around. I believe in February will move because the second Tuesday is Valentine's Day, and that seems like a tough night to pull a crowd.
Right.
That might change. I'll let you know as we get closer. But, yeah, you can also attend. The shows are pay what you want, because we're trying out new things, which means no matter what, you are getting the show at a bargain, because you can walk in and give us $1, you can walk in and give us $100. We will not look at you askance if you walk in and give us $0. We literally do not guilt you or give you bullshit at the door. Come in, pay what you like, even if it's literally nothing, and just come see a show. And you will see some amazing stuff from some amazing people. You'll see experienced comedians workshopping new stuff. You'll see folks trying things for the first time. You may see a dog in a tuxedo pull out of a duffel bag. It's been an interesting couple of months lately.
What?
So yeah, come check out.
I fucking love that's a credit now.
It is so cool.
That's just
Yeah. So yeah, if you want, you can like Fearless Lab on Facebook, and that'll give you some updates on the events as those things come up to come check us out. So if you're local, come check that out. If you're not, I'm also going to work on getting some things from the lab in upcoming months available more for internet folks to check out. So I know a lot of our listeners are scattered around the country or the globe, and we sometimes talk about our performance things here, and you don't get to get even a taste of them outside of like Die Laughing. Well, but you know, I mean, some things you can
almost
see. Die Laughing, you can see. You know, there are certain things like that we do. And so I would like Fearless Lab to be something that you won't get the full experience if you can't be here, because there should be a reason to be here. But I'd like to post little chunks of things here and there, even if it's just like my bullshit opening monologues each month, because at least I don't care if someone else sees them. You know, I'm not going to give away someone else's act without their permission, but you could at least get the 5 minutes of bullshit I do at the beginning, just so you go, okay, here's a start of what happened and a little bit of who's coming up, and you'll know why you should be there. And that's all good. So come do that. Salsa, anything to pimp?
A couple things. Number one, Mondo Juggle Fest is coming up. Matt, you going to make it this year?
I'd Probably not.
Probably not. And Aaron Casper's going to be pissed off about that.
That's kind of why I don't want to. I know, right? I like that I have this unbroken streak.
So, selling point for everybody else. Matt will not be there.
But when is it?
It is coming up. It is, well, first off, if you want to pre-register and get Well, you get cheaper tickets.
Exactly. That's why I said, why wouldn't you?
Like $3 cheaper for the door passes, $3 cheaper for the spectacular,
the big finale.
The show. It's called the Spectacular. I was using it simultaneously as an adjective and as a noun. But it's a really fabulous show. They get famous jugglers literally from around the world come and perform at this show.
And we haven't done it much lately. We do talk juggling sometimes
holy
on this show. And it's
shit.
That we've talked about. Yeah.
These guys are the Jay Gilligans of the world. Ooh. I've literally met Jay Gilligan and Galchenko's.
You know the deep. I was going to say, Galchenko's and Jason Garfield are my pulls for juggling guys.
Jason Garfield has never shown up to ours, but I ran...
Really? I thought Aaron said way back in the day.
He may have been years ago.
I was going to say, before he was Jason Garfield, and he was just Jason Garfield.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is my understanding. I could be wrong.
Yeah. But pre-registration, I believe, is January 9th. So you might want to get that in soon.
Yep, get on that.
Just go to mondofest.org and download the registration packet and fill it out, send it in.
And the actual event is?
The actual event is, that is February 10th, 11th, and 12th. Here in the Twin Cities. What?
It just overlaps with other shit I'm doing.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Ha-ha, you have an excuse. Again.
Well done.
I mean, that doesn't mean I couldn't go to part of it, so I will see what I can do.
I will actually be out of town that weekend for my trivia.
It's just going
to
be me.
That is my final weekend before I go to Florida for a week.
Yeah.
But I'm doing like Phillip's podcast and some other things that weekend. So.
But it's one of those crazy places where it's not just quote-unquote jugglers that go there. Like, the performers go here. I met a sword swallower from New York last year who gave me a lot of really good advice.
Someone will meet a sword swallower from Minnesota when you go this year.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is amazing.
I will not give you advice.
Nobody wants your advice.
There are comedy writing workshops. There are workshops on how to market yourself as a performer. There are various things, you know, you meet all sorts of crazy performer types at these festivals, and then you go see a show and you just get your brain absolutely exploded by the awesome that is happening, and if you've never been, you really, really should.
Yeah, and I should point out, when I go, I'm going to keep my streak of not going live, that is not because I don't love the idea and wish I was there. It's more to spite Aaron, me being me. It rarely works out for various reasons.
Yeah.
I would absolutely prefer to be there every year. I did go once
long, long ago, and I learned an awful lot of poi stuff.
I got a message from someone, and one of their profile pictures, they were wearing a Mondo shirt, and I was like, you are automatically way cooler than me. That's an awesome pull.
And it can sometimes be rather daunting to show up at a place like this, and you walk up to any person there and say, teach me.
Yep.
And they will drop what they're doing and teach you. And whether you have no idea what you're doing, they don't care. They will teach you. Or if you see somebody doing a crazy poi routine or a staff routine and you go, that's really cool, show me that. They will.
That's actually where I learned. I was doing poi and I was doing a 5-beat weave, but I thought I was doing a 4-beat. And somebody was like, how are you doing a 5-beat? I'm like, no, this is only... They're like, no.
No,
you got it. I'm like... oh, never mind then.
And all right.
I'm way cooler than I thought
I
was.
Talk to you.
But I
off peasant.
I say this every year, but it's absolutely true. I walk away from that place so inspired, not necessarily because of all of the things I've seen, but because you're in a space with creative performer types for 3 days, and you walk out of there feeling like your brain is alive with ideas, whether that be juggling patterns or a new direction you want to take your performance, or you're just inspired to try something new.
I get a similar feeling every time we do Die Laughing.
Yeah.
Because I always see someone I've never seen before, or I see someone
it's very
who knows
similar
something
to that.
so talented, and you get a chance to talk to him before or after.
It is that same euphoria where you feel inspired.
And Fest is good for that, too.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's just, I love collaboration, like, between artists. I love people working together, and
this is one of the highlights of my year.
It is definitely.
I never miss Mondo. The other thing I do want to mention is coming up in a few months, we need to raise some money to make me jump in a frozen lake.
Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah,
not just telling Salsa to go jump in a lake.
We've been doing that for
years. We can pay for him to go jump in a lake.
We can
make this shit real, yo.
And I'm going to tie this in. We have a fearless comedy team. Right now it is me and James Fairburn of the Awful Copter podcast. I believe Jesse Goines is on that
team. Of course
she is. Game for crazy.
Of course exactly. She is. You can probably throw mouse traps at her while she's doing it, and she'll be like, fuck yeah, $50 more, bitches.
And who is the fourth person? Give me just a second. The fourth person on that team is...
Not it.
Andy Wilkins.
Oh yeah.
So
also, she's the best.
Yeah, right. So James, Jesse, me, and Andy, we're all raising money. All proceeds go to the Special Olympics.
Awesome.
So it is a good cause.
We should point out, this is a fundraiser, but it's not a fearless fundraiser. This is fearless people doing the fundraiser for the Special Olympics.
This is for other people.
Olympics.
Yeah, because
it is
we want to give back. We want to not just do things for us, but we want to also be good to the community.
Yeah, it is important to be part of the community.
Also, it forces us to jump in a frozen lake.
That is the bonus.
So
now, when is the actual polar plunge?
Well, there's events all throughout the winter. The one that we are doing is March 4th.
Really?
Whew.
Yeah. What?
Why? I think I can do it this year.
Huh?
Really?
I think I actually can.
Oh, well, you still have enough time to...
The last 2 or 3 years, I've had a thing where I could not do it. I think I could actually do it this year.
Dumbass.
Son of a bitch.
Well, you said it out loud.
Yeah, you did. And it's recorded.
So, it is March 4th, and here is the bonus. Here's the bonus. No, this is the best part. This is the best part. Maybe Matt's going to join, and we can have a lot of money. But Matt, this is the best part.
I don't think this is
March,
the best part coming.
Yeah. No, there is. March 4th is also Febtoberfest.
What?
Yes! Whoa. We can jump in a frozen lake in the morning and then go drink.
Okay, I'm listening.
All right. Yeah.
Right. But yes, March 4th is also Febtoberfest.
Dear listeners, by next week, I will confirm that works. I'm assuming it will, so assume I'm going to do this. I do have to just quick double check that all my calendar stuff lines up, but I think this is the first year I've been able to do this.
Awesome.
And the only thing that stopped me before is I've had a show or the kids or something. But at this point, the boy could just come.
Yeah.
Like, there are things that...
I will watch the kid for you.
He will laugh.
He and I will show up and watch you do this.
All right, I think I'm doing it this year. Cool. I will let everyone know for sure next week.
So that's unconfirmed. Right. If it is, hot scoops. Right here.
You almost made me spit out my coffee boots. You fucking asshole.
It's a hot scoop right here. Honestly,
these are really deep pulls, listeners.
We're
talking like less than episode 100 references.
I will post on the Apropos of Nothing Facebook page a link to where you can donate to the Fearless Comedy Productions Plunge Team. Please give money. If I don't
can we change it from the Fearless Comedy Productions Plunge Team to the Fearless Comedy Plungers? Because
yes, we can.
Yes,
I am in charge. I can change it.
Can we wear plungers?
Yes, we can.
Oh, up top. That was I compromised and did a high five. I'm so excited.
That's because that's how bad that idea is, but we're going to do it anyway.
That is so bad it's a high five, guys.
But anyway, here's the thing, guys, though. If we don't reach our minimum, we can't go.
Ooh, what is the minimum?
Everybody chooses their own minimum.
Okay.
So for me, it's $75. James might be $150, but he's already at $80.
Oh,
so like he's
and now you can funders up until the day.
Yes.
Okay.
So
we got time.
Absolutely,
it is worth checking in and making sure.
But before we check in to plunge, we need to have that money there.
Okay.
So if I don't hit my $75, I don't jump. So if you guys want to see me jump in a frozen lake and freeze my fucking balls off.
I don't believe your balls.
You need to. Well, I got two kids.
They're not yours.
No, your wife has.
That's
two
true.
Kids.
That. You need to.
They're not
to
your kids.
Donate.
I love that both gender are like. No, we know what's up.
Please donate to the Special Olympics because again, good cause.
Again, yeah, that's an amazing thing. Regardless,
it's a win-win-win.
Yeah,
really.
If you're lucky, you get to have some additional comedy come out of it. But regardless, good things happen because of it, and that's the best part. So, on that note, I think we can get out of here, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Take care of yourselves and each other. Stay warm if you're in a horrible frozen place like we are. Because, goddamn it, I think the high tomorrow is supposed to be 4 degrees.
So you really want to see us jump
away. Technically above negative.
Okay, fucking, I'm pulling out the Hawaiian.
No, I don't know if that factors in wind chill and whatnot. I'm just saying, it's awful right now.
No, it's fucking...
By the way, if you're ever like, what's it like in Minnesota? This place sucks.
This
place fucking sucks.
So when we say you should pay money
Katie, come visit.
No, it's great in August.
That's true. If she's potentially going to come visit
really
us this summer, she'll have a great time.
Summer.
Yeah. It's almost too hot.
Also, the Apropos-y member number one right there.
There you go. Yeah. Long-standing Apropos member along with a few others.
With Justin, Chip and...
Chip.
Oh, my God. Apropos-y shirts, you guys.
Champy-cray.
This shit's happening.
Maybe it's time to just make Apropos-y shirts. We rolled
deep. Apropos-y shirts.
Apropos-y shirts.
Like this. Oh, God. We should probably talk about all this shit off mic instead.
But yes, we love you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Okay. Eat the fucking cake.
Yay. Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Talking and testing the microphone.
Microphone.
Also testing this microphone.
Microphone.